purpose, success, prosperity, personal, professional, and spiritual growth. Welcome to the Supercharge Your Life Show with Drs. Philip and Jane Mountrose.
Welcome, everyone, and welcome to Supercharge Your Life. This podcast is for open-minded people with all kinds of dreams and goals and people who face all sorts of challenges, as obviously we're facing right now. I'm Dr. Jane Mountrose, your host for today. With 3 decades of experience in the fields of holistic life coaching and healing, my husband Philip and I are also published authors, trainers, coaches, and founding directors of IHP, the International Association of Holistic Practitioners. IHP is part of Awakenings Institute, a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping to create a more loving world where the unique gifts that each individual brings are honored and nurtured. Each Sunday on this show, we discuss a spiritually focused strategy or key for supercharging your life. Each key is an area of focus that's important if you want to create a miraculously wonderful life. Our promise, if you take each of these strategies and keys to heart, your life can change in miraculous ways. And this week, I have the great pleasure of bringing you a special guest, Debbie N. Goldberg. And Deb is a spiritual teacher, author, and podcast host on Angel Heart Radio. I met Deb in another role as a host, also on the Enlightened World Network on Facebook. And I'm really so glad I did. God has led Debbie to understand him through meditation, and her role is to help others learn how to receive him through a direct divine path. In her role as a spiritual teacher, Debbie provides support designed to help students to develop their connection to the divine and develop spiritual tools to manage life and guide them in their spiritual awakening and journey. She has a wonderful story, too, of her own that we shall probably hear in a moment here. Deb was a traditional clinical therapist for 18 years until a spiritual awakening by Jesus transformed her and changed her path to spiritual teacher and author. She has taught God's universal love and brings the spiritual knowledge of her own awakening into her work to inspire healing, love, joy, purpose, and creativity by helping to create your own inner direct connection to the divine. She's also an author of several books, mostly a 3-volume series called A Divinely Ordered Life that was dictated by Jesus, God, and the angels. It's available through Amazon. I think you're in for a special treat. You might already sense that. And with that, I'll start with Deb's topic she suggested for today and let her tell you a bit more about why this is so important to her. So Deb's strategy, or key, is connect with the divinity within. Welcome, Deb. Would you like to start by saying a little bit more about yourself and your strategy?
Oh, sure. Thank you so much for inviting me here, Jane. It was wonderful meeting you and Philip through Enlightened World Network. And when I heard you speak, I said, oh my gosh, she's talking my language. And I just felt so connected from that moment. So I'm really happy to be here with you.
Well, thank you.
And share common belief systems. So connecting to the divinity within. It is such a beautiful experience that I think it's important for all of us to know that we all have the ability to do that because it lives within us as us. And, you know, it took me a long time to wake up. I didn't wake up till I was 56, and which is just like maybe 5.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Perfect time.
Perfect timing. Yes, everything is in divine timing.
Right.
And the experiences that I've had from being being awoke by Jesus and God and the angels and the interaction and the healing, I can't imagine not continuing to go through my life with that ability to be connected. And we're all connected, we're just not aware that we are that connected.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's the illusion, this separation, but we mm-hmm. believe it really, really well.
Yeah. We do believe it. You know, I was writing a book with a good friend of mine. Her name is Susan Frink Anderson. And we were writing about how we all drank the Kool-Aid.
Right. Exactly.
We all drank the Kool-Aid of separation.
What's that?
We all drank the Kool-Aid of separation.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because a mass belief, in other words, the fact that everybody believes it doesn't mean it's true. And I think that's one of the things that it was hard for me to understand at first, that just because the majority of society thinks that something actually is it, is the way reality is, doesn't mean at all that it is. And I think your discovery of that, would you like to share a little more about that?
Sure. My discovery of awakening was pretty abrupt, actually. When I had been having some conflict with my son and his wife, and I thought, why am I having conflict with people that I love? I didn't understand it. And for the first time, I started to ask, what am I doing that's creating pain in my life? Mm-hmm. And this is what opened me up, is that I was willing to look inside at myself and what I was doing that was creating conflict. And so I had read about this woman. Her name is Margaret Paul, Dr. Margaret Paul. And she talked about how we create our own pain by not taking responsibility for our own feelings, that we blame other people. And we do this because we really don't know how to process the pain that we have. And so I decided to go to her workshop. For the first time, doing something for my own self instead of CEU credits for my licensure.
Right, yeah.
And during the workshop, she did a meditation for you to meet your spiritual guide. Now, I was not part of the spiritual community. I've been raised Jewish, but I was considered myself a cultural Jew. I didn't have any religious background. Nobody talked about God in my house, but I knew somehow there was a God. I didn't know what that was, but I felt and I talked to God as a little girl, not hearing things back though. Mm-hmm. So during this meditation, she asked that we find a happy place in our mind to go to, and it was at a pool. So I was sitting at a pool, and all of a sudden, this man shows up. I don't know who he is, but he felt really good, and he felt really loving. And I didn't understand what I was experiencing, because this was all new to me. And all of a sudden, I'm in the pool, in a raft, and my younger parts of me, my younger selves, started to pile up in this raft with me. And I'm still like going, I don't know what's happening. A movie playing in my head.
Right.
And it's just going. And this man gets in the water with me, puts my arms around all of myself. And what I knew is I needed to heal myself, which mm-hmm. I thought I had healed myself, but I didn't heal.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know what we don't know.
Heal myself, the way that you heal with God.
Right, yeah. We just don't know what mm-hmm. we're missing. And I think that's an interesting part of it. And I think we also feel that it's hard to do. When I first wrote, my husband and I started writing about this, and it was some years ago, it occurred to me to look up information about the soul. And of course, it's connecting. There are a lot of different ways you can understand connecting, but essentially, you're connecting with your own soul. So I was looking up books and things about it, and the general impression that I got, and which I think people have, is that the divine within, of course, it's the same thing, is that this is something that happens rarely in a person's life. It might just happen by accident. And I think your story is very interesting, because you're saying, well, They asked, and this I think is a beautiful way of doing it. There are different ways of doing it. If you go to a happy place in your mind, of course, you're going to a place where you don't feel separate from everything, so you can make a connection with something greater. It's that simple, really. And we connect with the love in our hearts. There are many different ways, and we can talk a little bit more about that too. But it is, I think, the most important thing, I think, for everyone to realize is that that's available to you too. It's not, some spiritual leaders would have you think, well, you know, I have the truth. Mm-hmm. And Philip and I were in an organization that was like that. It was many, many years ago. It's where we met. And it took a while, but finally I thought, well, what's so special about him? If he has the truth, why can't I have the truth? And that was a search for us to find that. And I think that it's so important. And I think in a way, I guess it's important anyhow, but it's, to me, I think it feels like it's really especially important now. So what would you say about that, Deb?
I think it's very important now, and I think it's part of the divine plan of why we're all kind of locked up in our houses. It's like, okay, it's time for you to explore yourself, because as you're sitting at home in this experience, everything's going to start to get teased up inside of you, that all your fears, what you're grateful for, and the possibility of connection if you're willing to take time to sit and listen or meditate or pray or listen to music or even taking a walk in nature. There are all ways to connect mm-hmm. to your heart, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so I think that God is always, and let me explain, I say him because God, when God showed up to me, he showed up to me as a male. And I know that God is just divine love, it's energy. But in my experience of God, it is as a male.
Mm-hmm. That's true for me too. And I don't know, I feel the same way about it. I don't know why it shows up that way, but it does for me too.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, you know.
Yeah. Well, we've been programmed for a lot of how to view God,
mm-hmm.
but your journey is so unique to you that God shows up in whatever form you need it to, and whatever form you'll accept. And I guess for me, I needed a really strong, loving father because, just childhood trauma I had with my dad, my stepdad. And so for me, I needed to really have a strong, loving father. And so that is the way he came to me. And then, of course, he shows up at as goddess too, as I went along. But for healing, He and I still see him as male, although his form has morphed over the years as I have changed. So
mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so it's been really an interesting experience. And what I try to do is lead people inside, because my thing is I don't know your journey. I don't know anybody else's journey. And I mean, I can intuit some things, but it is only God that knows your journey. God wrote your story. So I like to take people inside to help them connect to that love in whatever form, right. Whatever form they're willing to accept it in. Sometimes it's had to be as their higher self.
Right.
Sometimes it's God, Jesus, Buddha, just the light. I've had some random people will connect to random persons, someone who has passed on, maybe a family member who's passed on. So each person, it is so unique of that connection, and it is written specifically for them.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's true too. I know I've been actually making connections like this for 30 years now, so it's been a long time. And as I told Deb, actually I told you recently, for many years I connected with a being I considered to be a guide. And I actually was very, very happy connecting with this guide until the guide didn't show up. And I, you know, it was my time when I needed to embrace the idea of being connected directly with our creator, with God, which was hard. Mm-hmm. And I think you mentioned that too. When I first heard it, it was like, this is a little much for me. And I think that's interesting too, because I think that happens because in some way we don't feel we deserve either. Like, kind of like, well, who am I to say, you know, God talks to me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. you want to share that. And or even, I think another thing that takes it a little deeper right now, because of also the just horrendous things that are happening on the planet to people. I know that people are having the experience of feeling abandoned by God.
Mm-hmm.
So would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. That is, I think that's a feeling that comes along with the experience of being a spiritual being, having a human experience, is that, and it is the first trauma. It's really all of our first trauma is believing that we are separated and abandoned from God,
mm-hmm.
because we don't remember. During this experience, we forget that we're one. We forget that we're having this illusionary experience or a dream or whatever you want to call it. We forget that there's only oneness. And so there's many times throughout people's lives where they felt abandoned by God. And so that's a normal feeling. But I promise you, God has never abandoned you, ever. And it is really reaching inside yourself and wanting to have the connection and not being afraid of it, because people don't know what to expect. What does that mean to be able to have conversation with God or to see God or hear God? And everybody's going to experience that connection differently. So I think that you have to be open and willing. Like I said, I had to be open to look inside myself. And that's what cracked open the door for me, for Jesus to step in. And I didn't even know who Jesus was. And I denied, like there was a part of me going, this can't be Jesus. What is Jesus here? I don't understand. And there was a part of me, was my inner child kept telling me, oh yes, it's Jesus. And I didn't want to believe it because none of it made sense, because you don't know what you're going to get when you open up, except the only thing I could promise you is it's loving. It is pure, unconditional love. It is words of love that flow out to you in the most magnificent way, and everybody hears differently. So some people hear auditorily, some people, God speaks to your heart, and then you translate it. It just gets translated. You know when you're being spoken to by God. You just feel it, and you know it. So even if you don't hear it auditorily, and God talks to you also in your own voice. So you don't even realize sometimes the voice talking back to you that you think is your own thinking is actually God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it is, another thing we were just talking about a little bit before we started here is the messages also can be so simple that you think, well, I just made that up. You know, anybody could say that. It's kind of like, like Mike's saying that, you know, that love is really the essence of life, or you know, you might just very profoundly simple messages,
mm-hmm.
they're meant to sit there so you can really ponder them. And of course, I get, and I'm sure Deb does too, I get images too. I work with images a lot, even with healing. I think that spiritual energy is the most powerful energy available for healing too. Yes. But I think that it's really an opportunity to expand one's sense of what reality is. Mm-hmm. And I love that image behind you, that expansive water and the beautiful sky and everything. I think one nice way of making a connection like that, and you mentioned nature too, is just imagining a time when you were out in nature or looking at the beach, looking at the water. If you look at an expansive view, it expands your mind. There are little tricks, but I think that, and just imagining being in nature, imagining a time when you felt happy, you know, and then just see when you get there how you feel about yourself and your life. It's going to be very different than a time when you feel like, well, gosh, I'm stuck in this, you know, house and things aren't going well and the world's falling apart and it's a completely different place. Can you suggest, I know from what you're saying that you help people, you guide people through making this connection, which I think is really valuable for those who can do it. And as a starting point, do you have any suggestions for how people would make that kind of a connection with God or whoever was going to show up?
Yeah, for me, it worked for me through meditation. And so that is what I teach other people, is the guided imagery. And so you are guided in a meditation to meet your spiritual guide, basically. Mm-hmm. But you have to be willing to sit still and be quiet. And I know for a lot of people, that's not easy for them to just want to sit still and be quiet, because then you start hearing the chatter in your head. And then you feel like you're not getting anywhere, that you're distracted. But that chatter in your head is purposeful. And it's about learning how to just come back from it into center. And it's almost like letting it just float by and coming back to center. Because eventually, as you keep practicing that, you will eventually know. You'll just get messages like what you're talking about. And they could be, you know, when I first started out, it was every single day I heard, "I love you." Every single day. And it's because I didn't believe that anybody loved me. And so this was one of the things I really had to heal within myself. Mm-hmm. So right. Every day, and it probably took me about a year and a half or longer of hearing that every day to trust it. That's how, it was a process. Mm-hmm. And then, when I first started, when I woke up, a lot of what I heard was about my health. I had to stop working so much. I was a workaholic. Mm-hmm. And I was working all the time, and it was really affecting my health. And so it was minding my health. And then it just morphed into conversation of where I would journal all the conversation that I was having. So I didn't have to be in a meditative state anymore. It just flows through. And so everybody's going to have a little bit different experience of what they get. So I get dictated a plethora, I have 10 journals of poetry and stories, children's stories, songs. I have over 500 quotes, meditations. And so this stuff just pours through, and and all my books were dictated by Jesus. So everybody has a different story of how this is going to unfold. Mm-hmm. And I just read recently, Father Thomas Keating, and I like the words he used about really what God is divine therapy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's divine therapy. Right. And I called it spiritually being reparented, like being deprogrammed and stripped of all of the things that, like you said, what we were programmed to know, and stripped of that and retaught divine truth. So this is what's so important, is you don't know who you are unless you have this connection.
Right. And that's it. You're off center. And it, you know, it's like being like the wind is, you're just blowing around with the wind wherever it takes you. And that's, I think, and I do think this is really important for people to understand, because for me, in our work with clients, the main thing, the biggest thing I see right away is that people are not on center, which is really just being able to be yourself in your body, open your heart to the love and let it flow through you. And then everything changes. But it is, and that isn't what we're taught either at all. So it's obviously going against the grain. It's even going against a lot of meditative practices. Mm-hmm. We've worked with people who have been meditators for decades even, and come to us because maybe they have a certain challenge, specific challenge that has been with them forever, and maybe their leader or guru, whoever they're following, tells them, well, all of your childhood blockages and everything are going to go away if you keep meditating. But the meditative practice is not actually connecting them with who they are. Mm-hmm. So even after many, many years, it might not be producing the results that you can get in a very short time. Although, like Deb said, believing it and really being able to be in the flow with the divine does take time. It's like anything else. You don't go in a car, you know, and immediately drive on the freeway if you are practical. Okay. And it's the same with this, that you're developing a relationship. And a lot of times, I think you were suggesting the communication, if it's coming through your heart and you had a lot of pain in your heart, that has to clear. Mm-hmm. To be able to establish a clear connection.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, when I got awoke, like nothing was cleared. Everything was like ready to be picked at and brought up. And that's exactly what happened. And so I understand what you're saying. You are your own guru. Nobody else can tell you your truth. And every single one of us has a different path. And we have each one of us actually have our own truth. And so you might find yourself aligned more with some people that believe more of what you believe. But as you go in and are taught, you are taught your own truth. It is for you. It is for your journey. It is what God wants you specifically to work on. So I've been taught a truth that is very different than other people's truth. And then I find, you know, somebody like you where there's more alignment and some other people. And it's really learning to stand in your truth, because it's your specific journey. It has nothing to do with anybody else. So only that information comes from within you. We help each other. We help heal. And it is only divine love that really heals. That is what I found after doing therapy for 18 years.
Right.
Is that, you know, I'm like, oh my God, this is what I've been doing for 18 years. And then I connect inside and I'm like, nothing feels like this. Nothing feels like healing when it's coming through divine love.
Right.
And so it is so powerful. And it's really getting out of your own way, because I know when I first went in, and I started connecting, and God wanted, you know, God kept calling me in and pulling me in. And I'm like, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy right. to even be in your presence. I mean, like all of these things that I didn't even understand were inside of me, stopping me, wanting me to not have this relationship that really is already there. We just forgot.
Right. Yeah. It's like, well, and you said it, we are always connected. There is no separation between us, the angels, the guides, the masters, our creator, God. It's all there. It's all happening. But we're under the illusion that we're separate. And I think also for me, one of the big kind of, you could say, tells or ways to just kind of get a sense of it is, we call it a tale of two realities. You know, the reality that it's very easy to fall into for most of us because it's the norm is stress and fear and separation, feeling alone, and all of the things, you know, limited and something wrong with me, all those things, they're all in this certain reality that many of us have been caught in. But the fact is that, and this has been proven scientifically too with morphic fields, if you can be in one reality, you can be in another one. The goal is to get into a reality that is characterized by connectedness. And love is connectedness. So what you want to do is remove all the separation as easily as you can. The oneness of nature, you know, if it's thinking about one of the most happy, exhilarating times you've experienced in the past, it's connectedness, it's love, it's gratitude, it's all of those things that resonate, you know, in that way. And you can very quickly tell where you are. And it might be a scale, like, well, I'm kind of there, you know, kind of here. But the goal is just to open and be able to embrace what that means to not be separate. And it's also this, you know, this podcast is practical too. I think this is one of the most practical things a person could do. Because the spiritual level of our reality is the deepest level. So everything is actually building up to that. And once you get there, then it simplifies everything too. Like you said, the message is all love, you know, okay. So, and it might even sound too simple. Like you keep reading it, like you know, you're worthy of love, love is, and love this. And then I remember reading some of those things and thinking, well, you know, I could have made that up, but just keep listening.
Yeah, that is the most important point. It is having a willingness to have an intimate relationship with divine love. Because really, it's a relationship with yourself. You are that, and so none of us, nobody that I know, I was not taught that way. I did not
right
with that information. I didn't understand what it was to be self-loving, compassionate. I didn't have any of those traits. Or was using them towards myself.
Right.
And so, you know, like you're saying, you can read all of this. I can tell you that you are pure love and that you are loved more than you can imagine. But when you go inside and God tells you that, or whatever you connect to as divine love, it speaks so much louder than just me telling you that. So
yeah, and that's a major point too.
The you feel what you are hearing, and you feel to the depths of so much more than what you actually feel in this illusion, which I call, it's duality, but it's not real, right? It's non-dual. The only thing that exists is love. So, but when you go in and feel unconditional love in a way that you have never, ever felt before in your life, nothing can replace that. Even, you know, having children, I love my children, but the love that I feel from God is like magnified a gazillion times more than the love that I feel on a 3D level, what I call
that. Right. Yeah. And it's so inspiring to me too. If you start looking at, if you're working with clients or students, whatever it is, which both of us do, what I'm aiming for myself in with a healing or just some kind of an awakening for a person is to allow them to find the truth, whatever it is to the in their situation. It might be they might be concerned about money, or they might have it can be anything. They might be having relationship problems. Whatever it is, I'm looking for that guidance to flow through them, because mm-hmm. and this is so important, because as Deb was saying, if it comes from within you and you know it's your own truth, that's what you've been waiting for. Mm-hmm. And then you understand it. It's like, oh, I get it now. Mm-hmm. Whereas you can tell somebody, well, don't be afraid, or you don't have to worry about this. It doesn't mean anything. You might even know. I mean, probably all of us have had fears and we know they're irrational. We know we don't need them or shouldn't have them. But for someone to say, well, don't be afraid, it's not going to do anything. You have to clear, and then the person will understand for them what the truth is about the situation and where to go next. Mm-hmm. And that is so beautiful. I love that, just to allow a person to open what to their own truth. And about, well, if you wonder, well, what is my life purpose? Or you, all of the big questions, who are we? Why are we here? Where are we going? You know, what is the meaning of my life? You know, what can I do now? Well, and for all of us, what can we do now? There are things that we can do. Would you like to speak to that a little bit, just from a more kind of a soulful, divine perspective?
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, because I'll ask God, what is it that you want me to do today, or service, or what is in my highest good? And every single day I hear, I just want you to be happy. I want you to be happy. I want you to accept your happiness. I want you to enjoy your life. And it's so funny to get that same message every day. I mean, it doesn't mean that sometimes I hear, oh, I want you to write today. We're going to write, or I want you to do this. But every single day I hear, just be happy. And it's so interesting how hard happy can be sometimes. Because we're so caught up in our own thinking that we're not understanding the gratitude and the miracle of our life and who we are. Because you get dragged off into this unconsciousness, ego consciousness, whatever you want to call it. You get dragged off into worry land, into all the thoughts that run through our head during the day. And it just keeps stripping away our joy and our happiness. And, you know, it's taken me a long time to that's all he's asking me to do is be happy. And because if I'm happy and I'm peaceful and we're one, it creates that for a whole lot of other people.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the perplexing things now is, like, with all of this happening, you know, people are dying, people are suffering, you know, they're just in so many ways, you know, we've lost the lives we knew, we don't know if they're coming back, all of this, it's kind of, you might feel, well, it's almost like it's unreasonable to be happy. What would you say to that? You know, like, how can you just sit and be happy when all of this is happening?
Right. That's a lot of trust, and that's a lot of faith to be happy and peaceful in the midst of a storm. And so it doesn't mean I don't feel, because I will go through periods of grief and sadness if I hear something or I read something. And I don't spend a lot of time watching the news or anything like that. I don't fill my heart and my head with that. So I do have waves, and when those waves happen, I allow myself to feel them. I just allow it to flow out, which is crying for me. I allow myself to feel. But we do feel mixed emotions, and I can feel happy, and I can feel sad at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's conflict, because we always hear that's always love or fear, or you can only feel one thing, but you know, I could be happy in my heart and I could still have some sadness for something that's happening. Mm-hmm. Because I trust and have faith. And that's what the whole relationship with divine love is strengthening your faith constantly, to understand that you really are not in control of anything. I believe everything is in divine order, that we don't understand all the experiences that we have, but we need to trust them, that for some reason, whatever it is, it's in our highest good. And the whole relationship is learning to have safety and feel safe that you are protected always, right. Always. Right. And so the more that you feel that, and that you're looking at on an illusionary world that still affects you, you still feel, you can also be sitting in peace and trust and faith of knowing that everything is exactly the way that it's supposed to be. And you have conversations with God as to why you're witnessing something. Why am I experiencing something? And that comes from spending that time together.
Right. Yeah. And if you just take it back to the basics again, connectedness and happiness resonate together. Mm-hmm. So if you focus on being happy, love makes sense, gratitude makes sense, all of those kind of elevated perspectives make sense, and life looks different. I also think there's such a thing as a soulful sadness.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. It mm-hmm. is like really having empathy for the world.
Yes.
You know, I fully recognize all of the suffering that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing I can do is vibrate love and joy. We've written several books on love and happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just trying to be in that place where you feel that sense of connectedness.
Right.
Because then that's where you make the best contribution. You're helping to elevate. That's how we elevate the whole thing, is one person at a time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't mean that you have to run off and do something monumental.
Right.
It is you claiming your happiness and staying in it and your mm-hmm. joy, which is your natural state, and accepting it. Mm-hmm. Does so much, not just for yourself, but everybody around you, and energetically, it ripples out to the world, like you're saying, what you've written about. It is so important, and that's why I'm told that and reminded every single morning, just be happy,
mm-hmm.
Because happiness shifts your experience, right? It shifts your perspective, and you know, I woke up this morning and my message was to surrender.
Right. Yeah. What can we do?
It's just like lay the sword down. It's about surrendering into the love that's there holding you, surrendering into the safety and protection that is there, surrendering into trust, and surrendering into that God is expressing itself through you and knows what it's doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And it was just so peaceful. And then that shifted me into gratitude of understanding the miracle of this life.
Mm-hmm.
It's so profound that you can't explain the miracle that we exist in. There's just no way to explain
right.
how all of this comes to be, how you become a human, how does this perfection work? And it is all perfection. So so when you can go inside and connect like that, you are reminded over and over and over and over and over again. It never stops. Like, and it doesn't matter if you try to be still 10 times a day. That's what I needed to do when I first started. I need to keep going back to
right.
God, because I felt I couldn't hold on to the love. I felt I couldn't hold on to what I was being shown and given. And so, like, I had to go for a refill. Like, I was in a car, and I
exactly.
was gassed up with love all day long until I learned how to keep that in my heart and know that it is part of me. It is not something that I actually have to go get somewhere.
Right, it's in, right. And the heart, it's the spiritual bridge. You know, if you look at the body and kind of the energy system, the heart is a spiritual bridge, and you just need to clear the way for yourself. And it does, it gets better and better. I mean, I don't know how to say it, except it's just always miraculous to me. I did want to say one other thing regarding happiness and just keep what I often call it, keeping your spirits up, because I think that feels so, and that's what it really is elevating your spirits, is that this is also one of the best things you can do probably for your health now. Of course, you need to eat healthy, you need to keep moving around somehow, get exercise, we use weights and do all that stuff, but happiness and high immune system go together. Stress, if you read about stress on the internet, it's a killer. It's connected with about 95% of all diseases, and it's proven to shorten lives and blah, blah, blah. But if you connect with the heart, it's the opposite. And the science behind that is equally compelling, that it increases your lifespan potentially. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not claiming to know these as facts, although these are the Heart Math Institute. If you look that up, they have a lot of facts about connecting with love, what that does for you. It entrains your body to a whole new sense of harmony that you don't get otherwise. And it does actually, over time, I think part of what you're saying in terms of being able to hold it is your rational mind starts to come along. Mm-hmm. When it starts to see proof, it's like they're fighting at first. It's like, no, you can't do that. You must be crazy. You can't think this. And I had people telling me, like my father, like, this is the most crazy thing I've ever heard. Well, fine, but it's a fact. It comes into harmony, and then life, well, like you were saying, it's connected. You feel that connectedness with the divine, and you understand all those things you were saying. You're protected. You know, it's in divine order. We may not understand it, but there are so many things we can just be holding the space for humanity to be in a much better place when we come out of this. And I think intention is really powerful too. Mm-hmm. Just know I intend for this all to work out well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And eventually it always does, doesn't it? If we go back to history. And God's intention, you know, understanding that God is good is a belief system that needs to happen in the first place, because so many people were brought up with God was revengeful.
Right. So,
and there is absolutely no truth to that. I am vouching for that, that I have not seen anything ever like that come from divine love. And so, you know, you have so much of this programming to get out of the way. And so knowing that, the intention of God is good, and that your intention is good. It is the same will. We have the same will as God. We think we have a different will, and we try to do our own little thing. But in the end, we all come back to understanding there is really only one will, and it is being in alignment with God's will, because it is a purpose for your life. It is a purpose to be peaceful. It's a purpose to understand the love that you are, that you have a divine destiny to fulfill, and that you're only going to figure that out by going inside and listening to your own heart.
Right. Yeah. Another kind of thing about when you were saying, what can I do today? People often wonder about their life purpose, and sometimes they look at it as a, like, what is my life task? You know, it's kind of like this thing I have to do that's going to be a lot of heavy lifting and suffering, but I'm going to do it, you know, because it's my purpose. That's not it. And I think it's interesting you say, so the most important thing is to be happy, mm-hmm. you know, and then whatever your purpose is, it is the thing that makes you feel most alive too. I mean, that's a good indicator. you know, if it just excites you and your heart says, oh, this is it, you know, that's a good thing. And it evolves. You don't, it's not like you're going to get the ultimate truth and nothing for the rest of your life. It's just, you know, what's my purpose now? What can I do most now? And I just, well, I think everything you're saying is just beautiful. And it is, I guess it sounds kind of silly to say, it's heartwarming. You know, it is. I mean, that's the word that comes to me. It is. It just makes you feel good in your heart. And to realize there are so many things now that we can't change. But we can change the state that we're in. And if we vibrate that kind of a loving energy out into the world, we're contributing a lot.
Immensely, immensely. And what you do have power over is, like you're saying, how you feel. And the whole experience here is, how do I want to experience what's happening right now? Everything that happens is an opportunity to experience myself. And how do I want to experience that? So we are choosing that. And believe me, I have gone down a road of resistance. It has not been pretty at all.
And how'd that work for you, right?
If they're not, and it makes me, actually, when I do that, it creates more physical pain inside of my body.
Yeah.
Every time I get into resistance, I create physical pain in my body. Because I'm like, I'm fighting what wants to happen. And so I will tell you that the patience of God is never ending. Because sometimes I go, I don't even know how you put up with me, how you listen to me, how you keep loving me. Because I have been one ball of resistance for most of this awakening. And it's been pretty interesting of the discovery. So learning to allow, accept, and align everything that is happening. And it doesn't mean you approve of things, like you, when you see things outside of yourself, well, that's another story. We learn to judge everything as good or bad.
Right, yeah.
And that creates a lot of our heartache.
Yeah.
And that's what I was awoke to, I don't know, it was about a week ago, and I was thinking about the virus, and I was told, I don't want you to look at it as something bad. You don't understand the expansiveness of it. I don't understand the whole plan of what this is.
Exactly.
And so I was told, do not look at this as something bad. And that it just is. It's happening, and it just is. So
And life in general is that way too. I mean, just I want people to take that in, because it is, this is, like Deb said, this is what we do all the time. You know, it's like, this is good, this is bad, this is terrible. But we're not open to, well, breaking your leg might be the best thing that happened to you, because you have to lie down on your back for a month and you actually get a chance to reflect.
Yes.
You know, that kind of thing. So I'm sorry I interrupted you. I just wanted to.
It's such a great point, Jane, because we don't realize, like, well, maybe I did need to rest, and maybe God has a plan for me right now, and I need to get in tune with that, and I would not take the time to be quiet and listen unless I was put down somewhere.
Yeah.
So
And sometimes we even know it. You know, it's like underneath, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I was rushing around and I wasn't really living. And well, okay.
Yeah. All I can say is this is an amazing journey, and it is a process that continually unfolds, and that you're not doing anything wrong, that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. And when you have mentorship coming from inside, it makes it so much more wonderful. You have a GPS.
Yeah. Right.
There's a GPS system in here. That's always guiding you. And and being aware and in alignment, it just makes this experience so much more amazing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. And we're coming toward the end of our time. We probably could go on for it's fun to be in this energy because this is where we want to be. Before we close, did you have any other points that you wanted to make, or something you'd like to leave people with as a final thought?
I'm always pushing is this connection that even if you're not hearing, like to keep trying because you're being spoken to all of the time and you're not maybe recognizing that within your own voice, you are hearing divine love speak to you. It's answering you in your thoughts. There's only one mind. There's only one mind of God. And we're always in constant, we are always in balance. This is what's interesting. We're always in balance because we are one with God. And because there's this unconscious energy out here, it keeps pulling us away into the unconscious energy. And so we keep moving away from being on point. We keep moving here and listening to all of this stuff and getting caught up in unconsciousness. But we are grounded in that divine love energy. You can never be apart from it. And so it is always with you. It never abandons you. What happens is you go off over here and you think that you've been abandoned. And the truth, you have to come back home.
Right.
Because your thought has to come back home. Your mind has to come back home because it's your mind that left and took a, you know, well, you get hijacked too.
Right. Hijacked. Yeah. People are inviting you like, come over here. We're suffering. This is terrible.
Right. Right. Yeah. So know that you are always in oneness and it lives and breathes you. And it's really learning to go in and fall in love with divine love because you're falling in love with yourself. Mm-hmm. It is like a mutual admiration of an intimate relationship that is much more intimate than anything you could ever experience. And I know it's scary sometimes to go inside and be vulnerable and do all the things that happen because you end up healing and all of these things that a lot of people don't want to deal with. But what the benefits of it is profound.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. Yeah. And I want everyone who's here to remember that the keys we're sharing on this show with them, the ultimate goal is to make them part of your life. And this one, I think, is like the ultimate. To me, it's the ultimate key. The ultimate strategy, because if you're centered in yourself, everything else is going to change. You know, and as you add more of these kind of simple ideas and the things that Deb was talking about in connection with it, of not judging things, you know, realize that things are just happening. It's not, you don't have to judge not lest ye be judged. You don't actually have to judge everything, whether it's good or bad. You can just be open to the experience. Yeah. And I think that's how life changes in miraculous ways. It's just, it's like almost a no-brainer. Like, well, why not? If this is it, I'll go there.
Right.
Remember, everyone, the strategy is connect with the divinity within. And we always we state our titles as a strategy. So just remember that. You know, I can connect with the divinity within. And you deserve it. Mm-hmm. Wherever you are, whatever has happened in the past, you deserve it. You are love. You are part of the same oneness that all of us are part of. And I did want to tell you, and you can also add to this, Deb, if you want. Deb has a really wonderful website. It's Debbie, Debbie, N as in Nancy, Goldberg, GOLDBERG.com. where you can go, and she has her story and a whole lot of things that you can see there. Her Facebook, it's, you can go to Debbie Ann Goldberg on Facebook. Also, she is, as I mentioned at the beginning, she's part of the Enlightened World Network, which is a page, and there's so much happening there. It's just a wealth. So that's facebook.com/ Enlightened World Network, or you can just plug it in there and, you know, it'll take you to that page. And I really encourage anyone here who has, who feels connected with this, like this makes sense, to pursue it. It's worth it. And right now, a lot of people probably have more time for it too. Mm-hmm. So any other things you'd want them to connect with to learn more?
I'm also on Angel Heart Radio. I do a podcast there as well. So, and that's called A Divinely Ordered Life. And my book series is called A Divinely Ordered Life. And you can find that on Amazon. And those books were dictated by Jesus about why we're here and what we should be doing. And of course, my journeys intertwined in it. Mm-hmm. But it has all my journalings and conversations, many of them, in those books. So you can see how informal the relationship is.
Right. Yeah, it's not like you're going somewhere else either. If people think, well, I have to go to this place somewhere, where do I go? It's here.
It's you.
And then a lot of times it's even funny. They'll tell you things that are funny. You know, yeah. it's not like it's God, here's, you know, this is my dictate for today.
It is not like that at all. That's so funny. Yes, God has quite a sense of humor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it could be slapstick sometimes.
Right.
Yeah. So, yes, it's find the love. It's in there waiting for you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So thanks again, Deb. This has been delightful.
Yes, it has. I'm very happy you invited me.
Yeah, me too. It's so wonderful we got to meet.
I know. Yeah. Thank you, Enlightened World Network.
Yeah.
Ruth Anderson.
Yeah. All right. And I just also want listeners to know, if you want to know more about our courses and books and other offerings, we're at gettingthrough.org, which is gettingthru.org/holistic. We have books on Amazon too. And we also want you to know, and I'm sure Deb does too, that we value your support. People like us, we're able to be here because we're supported. So tuition for courses and other purchases probably from any of us support our missions of helping to create a more loving world. And if you can share the message of love with those around you, together we can change the world. And just want to wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful week. Realize that happiness can still exist along with compassion. Mm-hmm. So bye, everybody.
Bye.